Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, January 14th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon today is Eternal Life. The Old Testament reading is from Psalm chapter 139, verses 1 through 13, and our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11.
One lose one's salvation? This is a question I've been pondering this week because, as you know, Sherry Ledford died and her long estranged brother was able to be at her bedside in the last 24 hours of her life and as her heart stopped beating. And when Margaret called him and managed to reach the right person and the right brother, right? His first question to her is she saved? It was something he was concerned about and something he was worried about. But then as I got to talking to Bill later on in the week, he was here all week and Margaret hosted him in her house, he did say, well, she grew up in our Pentecostal, you know, my grandmother would take us to the Pentecostal church. She liked to watch televangelists and was really convicted by Billy Graham crusades and gave her heart to Christ, you know, around age 17. And that evangelical tradition prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus into her heart as a teenager. And she chose to be baptized. And so today I've been mulling over that question because he asked it so passionately, right? Is she saved? But then I'm thinking, well, if she asked Jesus into her heart when she was 17, why is that still a question? And he himself is a person of faith as well. And so it did get me thinking that even when we have the sense that, yes, we are in God's care, sometimes whether it's misunderstanding or differences in theology, maybe sometimes it's our own doubt. But I also think sometimes it's the world that we live in that seems to make everything consumerist, that may give us the idea that things can like this can be lost, right? Because we're used to dealing with things. You can lose your iPhone. Ah, you can lose your keys. You can lose your job, right? You can lose your house. If you don't make the mortgage payments, you can lose your house. You can lose your health insurance coverage and not get it back again, right? And now there's more and more subscription services too. So you can lose your Netflix. Like, wait a minute. And so we have the idea of if you have it, you can also lose it. And so, and I actually worried about losing my salvation once. That I was in a period of my life where I'd been like, oh my gosh, God is the best thing in my life. And then the craziness of life and school started to crash in. And I was like, do I go to basketball practice or do I go to Bible study? I think I'm going to go to basketball practice. But then I'd end up at Bible study on a different week and I'd feel guilty for not being at basketball. But then I'd feel guilty when I was at basketball for not being at Bible study, and I couldn't reconcile how I wanted to be following God, but I couldn't make it all make sense. And I was so convoluted in all of that I thought, well, if I'm not really following Christ, then maybe I'm not really a Christian. Maybe I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do. And it caused a crisis in faith. I'd been wearing a cross around my neck. I took it off because I was like, I don't feel like this is who I am. Maybe you've been there too. Maybe you are there now. Maybe you know somebody in your family who hits this point where they go, I think I was loved by God once, but I'm not so sure about it now. Whether that's doubt and a crisis of faith, maybe it's a time of depression and darkness, of feeling unloved by anybody. Maybe it's a time of tragedy and confusion. How can there be love here when this is what I'm seeing going on? And maybe perhaps it's articulated, but maybe it's not articulated. But I think it comes down to this worry, can I lose my salvation? Here again, these words from Psalm 23. It's one of my favorite psalms. But it's looking at it from God's perspective. But the psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is like the land of the shadows, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and go as far out to sea as I possibly can, if I can run so far away from you and from here and from my life, oh wait, God's there too. And even if I say the darkness has covered me and everything is night, God is there and the darkness is not dark to God." There's a reassurance there that we, even when we feel like we lose God, God doesn't lose us. I think the difference is in God not losing us is that unlike a thing like keys that you can let go of and lose, our connection with God isn't a physical thing. It's a relationship. And it's a relationship that it's a living relationship. And for good or bad, we know about relationships in our own lives. They can be broken. You can have ex-wives or ex-husbands. You can defriend somebody on Facebook. Those relationships are sometimes estranged or distant, conflicted. They can also be at times close and loving and joyful. But the thing about relationships is you can't lose them the same way you can lose your keys. They're there, but you can't erase them. A connection has been formed and it stays. And the connection that God forms with us stays not because we stay connected to God, but because God chooses to stay connected with us. Remember the parable of the lost coin? The kingdom of heaven, right, is like a woman who loses a coin and then goes out and searches for it. 99 sheep and one is lost, and the shepherd runs out to search for it. And the prodigal son, who's not just run away, but been highly inappropriate. And the father runs out to meet him and is standing on the edge of the field, hoping, waiting, and searching. And we sang about this morning, God's love never gives up on us. So I wanted to give you a very brief theology lesson this morning. And if I had had more time this week, maybe I would have put it on a screen, but not happening. Right? So often we think about salvation. I don't know. Are you going to be able to see this? Maybe I'll go this way. If I go that way, well, no, these guys are over there. So I was like, can I go that way? Okay, I don't need that one so much. So sometimes we think about salvation as that moment in an evangelical sense where you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and say the magic word, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I don't come from the evangelical tradition. I grew up Methodist. But certainly what we mark in baptism is a sense of belonging. Right? I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. Right? And sometimes we call this justification. And so when we say we're justified by faith alone, it's that you don't have to be good. Right? This is that forgiveness and grace piece. You don't have to be good to be found justified and whole and forgiven in Christ. But that's not the only part of salvation. And we talk about this is the salvation moment, right? Because then you go on living life. Uh, And you go on living life after Jesus is in your heart, but that does not magically mean that your life got better, right? That you didn't have doubts, that you never ran into trouble. But there's a relationship there that says, maybe God found me in this state, but God wants more of me. Sanctify means to make holy. So that's the part where we say, okay, as Christians, as people who we want to be following Jesus Christ, we try to shape our lives more like Christ. That doesn't mean that we're trying to deserve or earn the salvation. This is what we do in response to the salvation. But you know and I know, even though we're in this ongoing process, we screw it up all the time, right? We slip back. We forget. And so it's not like it's this linear process, like, oh, we're justified and it's all this nice upward trend. No, we know this is messy. Right? And then the last part of salvation is called glorification. Right? Glorification is... this has two parts. One, it could be Christ comes back again and makes all things right. But also in our life, sometimes that's what we're celebrating when somebody dies. If they're going to go and be with God and be in heaven, then all of the things that are not right can become right. And somebody can become whole. The word salvation actually is the same word as wholeness. So when we talk about salvation, it's not just this one moment where you go, oh, I get that Jesus is in my life and I'm forgiven. It's this and the ongoing struggle and the eventual wholeness. And so I think so there's nothing, this is Reformed theology, this is how Presbyterians understand things, right? There is nothing that can happen in this phase that can ever undo this. Because this is God's work on our behalf. And so, is there really anything that could make you lose your salvation? Yes, there'll be doubt. Yes, there'll be struggle. Yes, there'll be pain until that final day. So to close, I want to tell you the story about Bill Ledford, who is Sherry's brother, because I got to witness some of this sense of relationship and connection that had been broken for many, many years. The story, as we had heard it from Sherry, is that her family had not been good to her in many, many ways. And so she escaped, and she moved to San Francisco, and she said goodbye. I don't need that anymore. I don't need that pain in my life anymore. What we found out from her brother was how heartbroken her family was. Her dad missed her so much, he hired a private investigator to come and find her address and to knock on her door in San Francisco to try to connect with her. Bill also said she had gone to a hypnotism conference, like a psychotherapy hypnotism, and the hypnotist had said a lot of things. This is what happened in your past. And the brother says, that's not who I know my family to be. And so we got this whole other side of the story. And while I'm not here to say what side's true and what side's not and who's lying and who's telling the truth, what I saw in Bill, the brother, was that sense that even though Sherry had not been in his life for the past 30 years, he said, she's family. And when he got a phone call that said, are you Sherry Ledford's brother? And he said, yes. He got on a plane and he showed up. Sherry's going to be buried on the family plot back in Ohio, where her mother and her father are buried. Her story gives me witness that the relationship in family, even as it was estranged and distant, confused and painful, didn't end. And that relationship came back in the full force of love and forgiveness and grace. And now Sherry's in this spot. She has a wholeness that she was never able to attain here on earth. She longed for it. She prayed for the rapture. She prayed for the second coming. In part because I think she wanted that sense of being whole and having everything figured out and not having the struggle with her body, not having the struggle with doubt. And so with her brother here and with members of this congregation, on Friday, we indeed were able to celebrate that, yes, Sherry is saved, Sherry is made whole. And to reaffirm that, not just for her, but for ourselves as a faith community as well. And it was a celebratory day. Thanks be to God.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.